Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. And as you're turning there, a couple weeks ago, we talked about that God has ordained, God is the ordained authority, and God has ordained authorities that we who are Christians, who have come to the place where we, by faith, trust Him, we gladly bring ourselves underneath His authority. And we talked about the different God-ordained authorities, everything from government, church, home, and the workplace. But it all makes sense when we understand that Jesus is our King. He is our Lord. We are not sitting there saying He's Lord unless we disagree and then we step out from underneath Him. No, He is our Lord, our Savior, our King, our Master. And so today we're going to talk about the home. And I'm just going to say right up front, for some of you, this is going to be new and this is going to be difficult, but stick with me through the whole sermon, please. So, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, and would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? And I'm going to read Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 33. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, His body, and is Himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she may be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Father, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, and we thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning we are going to be talking about the big S word, submission. It says, wives, submit to your husbands. And I was talking with the staff because I was going to do husbands first and to kind of soften the blow because this is such a difficult subject, but they encouraged me to stick with the order that is in the text. And so, I mean, the reason that God has done this is because in the fall, the man abdicated his role of authority and Eve usurped his authority. And so I'm going to talk about this. And I know it's difficult. 13 years ago, when I was preaching through Colossians, I had a bucket right here. And I took a bra in church and I burned it. And people were appalled, and it's like, why did you do that? Can I just say, first of all, I wouldn't do that today. It wasn't the greatest problem, but it had a point. And my point was this. As offended as our church people were that I burned a bra at church, so are ladies offended when they hear the word submit. I mean, even my own dear mother-in-law who sits out here, when we got married almost 33 years ago, at our wedding rehearsal, the pastor got up and he read this passage, and after the rehearsal, she made a beeline for my wife and said, you're not going to submit to that. And she didn't call me a gorilla, but it was pretty close. And Jane lovingly said, yes, I am. And the funny thing is Ma there, she perfectly submitted to her husband, though they never used the word. But he was a good man, and she gladly submitted to his leadership. So I understand that what I'm going to talk about is difficult, and submission has become to mean oppression and the mistreatment of ladies. And because of sinful men, throughout the course of history, since the fall, have mistreated ladies, and sometimes they have got the backing of it from the church and pastors who have not taught well on this subject. Ladies have been the brunt of all kinds of abuse. The United Nations has come up with what they call the International Day of Elimination of Violence Against Women, which seeks to raise awareness about the violence that occurs against women around the world, by the way, this happens. And it is pervasive. And we're talking about physical abuse. Nearly one-third of women in the United States reported being slapped, pushed, or shoved by their intimate partners. 23% report severe violence. Psychological abuse, 16% of women report being stalked. 40% expressed have had aggression from their intimate partner and verbal abuse. Sexual abuse, 18.3% of women have been raped in the United States, and nearly half, 44% of women have been sexually victimized. And really, if you think about it, the Me Too movement that is out there is a long time coming, because sinful men have treated women sinfully. They have. And so, unfortunately, the word submission has become a casualty, because when you say submission, ladies think automatically, it's like, oh, you're lining me up for abuse. And yet, when you understand, as we go through these next few weeks dealing with this passage, when you understand the truth of biblical headship and biblical submission as it is taught in the scriptures, it is truly a beautiful thing. It is the way God has ordained what we are called to be and how we are called to live. And I will say this, when it is lived out, there is no greater joy for a woman than to live in a relationship where they are loved like Christ loved the church. The world says, oh, no, no, no. Don't be oppressed, ladies. It's 50-50. And here's the problem with 50-50. It doesn't work. You do 50-50, then one day I'm doing 49, and she says, well, I'm not, you're doing 49, I'm going to do 47. And you go, 40, and the next thing you know, before you're down to 0-0. And now you wonder why the divorce rate in America is 50%, even amongst those that are quote-unquote Christians. It's right around that level, because men and ladies haven't lived out what God has called us to do and to be. So I'm asking you to stick with me through really this whole series as we're going to be going through this. So today we're going to deal with the whole thing of biblical submission and what the Bible says. And I need to tell you right up front, I did a paper on this back in seminary back in the early 90s and have been greatly influenced by Wayne Grudem and John Piper. They wrote a book called Rediscovering Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. Had to write a paper on it. The points that I get no credit for what I'm going to say here. This is all stuff that I've borrowed from him and maybe reworded a couple things. But I have studied it and looked in different places. But their work on this of rediscovering biblical manhood and womanhood is gold. So here's where we're going to go. We're going to look at today what submission is not. We're going to look at what submission is. And then we're going to look at the what ifs of submission. And unfortunately, I need to go quickly through this. I mean, the more I would go over it, the more I'd put stuff on and the more I had to take stuff off, because you only have so much time. And I did want to address the men, because, you know, men, you can make this a lot easier, and we'll talk about that a little bit down the road. So let's get started. But even before I do, one last thing, just a little caveat here. For some of you, this is going to be very difficult to hear, and it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. I'm coming at this as I'm speaking to Christians. I'm coming from a Christian worldview. If you have not embraced the gospel, or even if you're new to Christianity, some of these things I'm going to say, you're going to stiffen up and you're going to say, wait a minute, because there's been so much baggage that has been brought into this. But again, I say stick with me as we go through this whole thing. So first of all, what submission is not? There's a lot of wrong information that is out there. A lot of wrong information. So let's start to address this. Submission does not imply inferiority. Men are not better than women. In Galatians chapter 3, in verse 28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And the best way to understand this is even within the Trinity, within the nature of the one God, there's three eternal persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Son gladly and willfully submits to the will of the Father. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 38, he says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." And we will. And if you read, you'll see over and over again in the Gospels, Jesus said, "And I've come to do the will of the Father. I've come to do his will." Even as he was going to the cross, "Not my will, but your will be done." And so it is really quite clear that Jesus is God, but he submitted to God the Father. It wasn't like the Father was better than the Son. In one sense, they're totally equal. So, letter B. Submission does not mean surrendering thought. You do not become a doormat. You don't check your brain at the altar. You bring all of your gifts and talents and all of who you are, your strengths, the way that God made you, you bring those into the wedding, into the marriage. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, "Then God gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the air, of the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him." So God made a helpmate for him. And that's exactly what a godly wife is. She's a helpmate. And we're going to talk about all of what that means. But it does not just not mean that she comes in and just checks out and just surrenders thought. It's like, well, I just don't think he does everything. That's not at all. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Point C, submission does not mean putting the will of the husband before the will of Christ. In Colossians 3, it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. If your husband asks you to do things that are not biblical, then you obey God rather than man." Same thing in any God-ordained authority. So that one is clear. Letter D, submission does not mean avoiding every effort to impact or change your husband. God has given men, wives, as their helpmates. And we need help. Can I just say that? We need help. We desperately need help. We profit by our wives coming in and impacting us and helping us to make better decisions and to change. In 1 Peter, it says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands so that if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. And oh, how I am thankful that God has used my wife to impact me positively and help be God's instrument to change and direct me. And she has done that very, very well. Letter E, submission is not living in fear or cowering. And this is what is a lot of people think. It's like, oh, I'm just this low person. It's like, no, that's not it. If you look at the whole text and what is going on here, in Ephesians 5:31, it says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church in a real way. As we become one, we become heirs, and we do what God wants us to do in a way that glorifies Him. So there is no living in fear. There is no cowardice. There is the strength that she brings and the confidence that she brings and that he brings, and they work this in a way that that promotes not only unity and oneness, but helps the marriage. And letter F, submission does not mean getting all of her spiritual strength through her husband. Every one of us individually, as believers, is responsible to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever, and now unto the day of eternity. Amen. In many cases, there are times when a couple gets married and she is far more spiritually mature than he is. And so it doesn't mean that she can't grow on her own. She has to grow and he has to grow, and we all grow in that. So all these things that are negatives, that's not what submission is about. So what submission is, and this is, I think we're going to hone in a little bit more of getting a flavor for what it is. Again, we're Christians. We gladly come to King Jesus and we say we want to do your will. We don't want to put our finger to the wind of the culture and say, well, how does the culture handle this? The culture's messed up. It's messed up. And so we are believers that understand that he is our Lord, our Master, and our King. And so for starters, just a reminder, submission is a principle for all believers. In Ephesians 5:21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So there is this, in one sense, mutual submission that is going on, not only in the home, but through all life. But this submission does not negate that there be a head, that there be one that would lead. God has ordained that there would be one that would lead. You need someone who's going to make the final call when there's not an agreement. What are you going to do if there's not an agreement? Fight? Blow apart? Well, that is what the world does. That is what, unfortunately, Christians do. But this idea of mutual submission comes together, and it is a beautiful thing because God has ordained that they work together, that there would be godly leadership and willing submission that come together within that principle of submitting to one another. I could say this, Jane and I have been married for almost 33 years, and on the disagreements that we've had, we talk, maybe once or twice I've had to put the card down that says, okay, we're going to do this. Very rarely does that happen. Maybe more than once or twice. But very rarely. Because she's smarter than I am. She got her degree from University of Michigan Business School. When she comes to me and she's talking finance things, I know nothing. We're moving, we're selling our house, and it's her that's talking with Jim, not me. And Jim's, where's your wife? I got questions on that. Okay, great. Because I don't handle these things. And it does not mean that I'm not the head of my home. There is mutual submission that goes on here. Now, point B, submission, and this is key to get this point. Submission is the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and to help carry it through according to her gifts. This one is so, take every word. And when it says, wives, submit to your own husbands. You know, ladies, you don't have to listen to every man in the world. You have one, your husband, your own husband. But as you do that, it is a divine calling. This is what God's called you to. As we submit to Christ, so wives submit to their husbands. It's a divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership, headship, and help carry it through according to her gifts. According to her gifts. And so, those gifts, as God brings a helpmate to a man, those gifts are glorious and they make the man better. I could sit here and honestly say to you, I would not be here today if it were not for my wife. And that, I'm not saying that to win points. That's absolutely the truth, that God has given her to me and has helped me, and we have gone through these 33 years together in a way where I have been the benefactor. When we got married, it's literally, she's the lady, I'm the tramp. That's what it was. She has known Jesus longer than I have, and yet she has lived out what it means to have submission is the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and to help carry it through according to her gifts. She has made me better. Better, better, better. And any good man who is wise and is looking for a wife, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. In Proverbs 31, it talks about a virtuous woman. An excellent wife, who can find? She is more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. And I can say, if you go on, you read the rest of Proverbs 31, that is exactly what has happened. And as we go through life, we talk everything out. But she gladly will say, okay, what is God calling us to do as we pray about it? Let her see. Submission is to be done willingly as to the Lord. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. It's not a 50-50 thing. Now, there's a lot of questions. At the end of the service, I'm going to put a number up there. You can text in questions. And over the next few weeks, we will try to deal with some of those, hopefully. But let's look at the what ifs of submission. Because there's a lot of what ifs. And I can't deal with every situation, every scenario, but there are three basic scenarios that are out there. What if my husband's not a believer? Many of our ladies are in that situation. It could be that you weren't a Christian when you got married, and then you came to know the Lord, and he didn't yet. It could be that you were not walking with Jesus, and you got married, and you married someone that everyone counseled you against, and you still got married, and you find yourself in that situation. Or one of the things, guys are famous for playing the game. They'll say, oh, I'm a Christian. And by that, they mean, it's like my wife saying that she's a hockey fan. She won't leave the room when the hockey game's on, but she's not going to sit down and watch the game with me all the way through. You know, and a lot of guys are that way. It's like, oh, I'm a Christian, but they won't lead. They bear no fruit. And then people get married, and I've seen this so many times, it drives me crazy. Then ladies are like, uh-oh, and they're in that situation. So it happens. What is a lady to do? Here's what 1 Peter, which is written in the context to an unbelieving husband, it says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if they do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. This is not a guarantee. It's a maybe. But wives are not exempt if their husbands aren't a believer. They can't say, well, I'm just not going to submit. I'm just not going to do what God's word says. And we don't have that prerogative. Next one, letter B. What if my husband is abusive? And this happens more than you know. And I will just say, when there's physical abuse, this is real easy. Call the police. You're breaking the law. The man is breaking the law. And when I was going to the Chaplain Academy, women who are abused, it'll take them 7 times of leaving the home before they finally leave, which is just a shame. It's just wrong. You call the police. Men, and I would just say, you guys that have little kids, you never, never let your little sons hit a girl. Never. I would always say to my boys, I don't mind if you two fight, but you lay a glove on a girl, that's a no bueno. That's not good. And I will say this too. How a young man speaks to his mother and treats his mother, not always, but often is an indicator of how he's going to treat his wife. And it is sad. And so, men, don't let your little boys disrespect your wives ever. Ever. Because you're mentoring for them something that you will regret and his future wife will regret. What about emotional and verbal abuse, which can be more devastating than physical abuse? And the difficulty on that one is it does, I've seen it happen on both sides. What happens in a relationship, they get together, one starts throwing gas, next one throws more gas, next one throws more gas, but there is something that is bad when a big man is over a woman and threatening her and yelling at her and screaming at her. And wives can, it can be manipulative and just as wicked on that, but I will just say this right up front. You need help. We never as elders coach for divorce, never. We will say you need to legally separate and you need to get help, the both of you, especially the men. I put more responsibility on the man. Because men, you're the head of your home. God's not going to knock on the door and say, is your wife home? You're the one that sets the tempo. But I'm dealing with the ladies here. But you need any kind of abuse, physical, mental, emotional, verbal, needs to stop, and you need to get help. And when you're dating, if you even see a hint of that, then you need to run. What if my husband is a believer but not the spiritual leader or living in rebellion to God's word? This is the one that is, to me, the most devastating and sad. I will say to visitors that come in, young couples, and I will look at them right in the face and say, listen, you know, mister, you need to love your wife like Christ loved the church, and you need to be the spiritual leader. And if you are that, she will be happy. If not, you will be, and she will be miserable. She'll be more miserable than you. And then they leave sometimes because they don't like it. But I will just say this. This is where many of our ladies find themselves. The man is lazy. He's selfish. What is a wife to do in a situation even like that? If he's part of this church, I'll tell you right now, and if you're here, guy, and you're here, and that's your situation, I'm giving freedom to your wife to talk to myself or Pastor Jason, because we want to help you guys. Because you'll never be happier than when you're doing what God has called you to do, men, and that is to be the spiritual leader of your home and love your wife like Christ the church loved the church. You know, and you say, well, I think I'm the spiritual leader. John Piper has a great little quote. He says, You know who the spiritual leader is in your house? Whoever says, let's more. Let's get the church on time. Let's pray. Let's go for a walk. Let's talk. It doesn't happen all the time. There's times where you go through seasons of that, because I've thought about this. But it's the one that is doing the initiating. Let's pray at the table. Let's take the kids to youth group. Let's. And often, ladies find themselves where they're the one that has to say let's all the time. And you have to have this juggling act where you try to do this. In some cases, ladies have to be the spiritual leader because the guy's checked out. And if it wasn't for the lady bringing the kids to church, praying with them, teaching them, then nothing would ever happen. And again, we're going to talk about this more when we get to the men. But I hope you get a little snapshot of what biblical submission is all about. I'm not saying it's easy, although you're going to see in weeks to come, a man can make it a lot easier. But at this time, I'm going to do something I normally don't do, but I'm going to call my wife up. This is our picture when we got married almost 33 years ago. She's the lady, I'm the tramp, and I'm going to let you hear from her on her perspective of things. And again, that's the number you can text questions into. Hi.
Okay, first off, love how God works. I'm also doing a study in 1 Peter, and we are exactly at this spot in 1 Peter about submission. So it's always love to see how God works with a study I'm in, and it's also what's happening in church. The whole issue of submitting as a wife is really about my relationship with God. How big is my God? How much do I trust my God? Because he has called me to submit to my husband. That's the role he's given me. So my responsibility to God is whether I have submitted. It's going to be all up to Matt. His responsibility is going to be to God and what's happening in that situation. So I always say it gives me freedom in that it's real simple what I need to do. I just need to submit. That's the roles that God gave us, and those are our responsibilities. But it makes it easier for me to submit in that I have a godly husband who doesn't do all those things that we talked about, what submission is not. We always talk about everything, but there are times when we don't agree, and I have to just say, okay, I'm going to leave it up to you because we're not going to agree, and we have to go with what he feels God has called us to do. Just recently, I had this thought about something that maybe we could do, and I said, I want you to pray about it and tell me what you think. And his answer was no. So that was my answer from God, that's what we should do. As far as being able to submit, I think the key to it is praying for your husband. When things come up, to be praying that God would give your husband wisdom, give your husband discernment, give him whatever he needs for that situation. I'm a real big on using a prayer journal. If you've been in a Bible study with me, you've heard me say this before. I like to write down things that I'm praying for specifically. So I have pages in my prayer journal. I have prayed for Matt. I've used scripture. We've seen in Ephesians where Paul's given us great things to pray for. And in chapter 1 and in chapter 3, Paul has two prayers there that I use often to pray for my husband. Satan wants to destroy marriages. And so I think that prayer is really important because that will really, it will destroy our testimony to the community and our church. So we need to be in prayer about that.
And I'll just say, in this whole journey, as she's prayed, she's always like 2 to 5 years ahead of where I end up going. So, I mean, even coming to this place to be the senior pastor here 15 years ago, she had been praying about that for a couple, 3 years, and I was just a slow adapter. So, I mean, God has used the prayers of my wife to direct me. And again, we talk about things, but I'm a slow changer, and there's times where she's like, okay, you got to make that change now. And I'm like, not yet. But she doesn't nag. She doesn't manipulate, she doesn't punish, and she's been a gift to me. Like I said, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her.
So the last point that I just wanted to make was, I know it's easier for me because I have a godly husband, so I do understand that for some women it would be more difficult, but that also brings me the point of speaking to single women in that you want to make sure you're marrying a godly man, not a man who just goes to church or a man who says he's a Christian, but truly is a believer. You need to see that fruit in his life. I know for myself, when I was dating, I got to that point of saying, I'd rather be single than married to a man who isn't living for Jesus. So I just encourage you that it does make it a lot easier to submit if he's a godly man.
Yep. And I will say this, if you have questions about, because I know for some of you it's like, this is, you know, you think we have a third eye on our head, the whole concept of submission, of we're aliens, but this is a biblical concept. And if you need to talk to, that's why I had Jane up here, and talk to her or one of the elders' wives, they all live it out. I'm not saying it's easy, but I will say to the men, you can make it easier. You know, you be that godly leader that God has called you to be. Don't make her have to lead. That's where over my years of ministry, I see where it gets difficult is when guys drop the ball. So thank you on that. We're going to, I'm going to have Ed, where's Ed? I'm going to have Ed come up. We got time to sing. I hope you get a feel for what it's all about, with that the whole understanding that this is what God's intended, and it's a good and beautiful thing when it works the way God wants it to work. And so I'm going to pray for us. I do want to pray even now for men, that guys would step up to the plate and be the one that says let's more. Let's pray. Let's talk. Let's get to church on time. Let's take a walk together. Let's go on a date. Let's. And that that wives would want to honor the Lord, and it would be easy for them. Renee Aldridge said in our staff meeting, she said, you know, I submit, but it doesn't feel like submission. And you know why that is? Because her husband loves her like Christ loved the church. Submission, not a bad word to her, but she's a great wife. And he's a great husband, and that's how God intended it to be. So that's my prayer for you, for those of you that are starting out, that this is that you would follow the biblical plan that God has laid out for us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I do pray for the person that this whole concept to them is brand new, and it is scary, and it is difficult. But Lord, may they see that your word is glorious and right and true. I pray for single ladies that they would marry having a solid spiritual leader as their head right from the get-go. I pray for those ladies that are in situations where their husband is not the spiritual leader, a professing believer, but just not there. I pray that you would stir in both of their lives. I pray for the ones that have unbelieving husbands, that you would save their souls, but even in this process, that by her conduct, you might use her as an instrument to help win her husband. Lord, we want to honor you. We want to glorify you in everything that we say and everything that we do, that you would receive praise, and that Christian relationships would be distinctively marked as different, and that the world would see us and see that there is something that is truly better about how husbands and wives relate in a God-glorifying way. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.
Whether it's a submitting wife or a loving husband, this is our goal. Sing this. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Sing that again. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus. Jesus at the center of it all. Beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. Beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you. It's all about you. Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus.
Lord, it is all about you. So you know where our hearts and our minds are at, even this day. And even if we're not married, Lord, may we want to make our life all about you and put you at the center. So whether we eat or drink or whatever we do it all for the glory of God. And all God's people said, amen.